Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome you to our Onward Christian Soldiers Discipleship class, class number 229. We have taken a little hiatus, a little break, and we are back here, and it's very fitting to come after the 10th, because that is the day we have commenced our annual 40-day Daniel fast. And ladies and gentlemen, now do your job back there now. And I want to deal with the subject, as we have done so in the past, titled How to Overcome Temptation. My name is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International and Gospel Light House of Prayer as well. The purpose of this time together is to teach particularly young believers. Most older believers should know these things. Everything they need to know about their faith in Jesus Christ, and provide them with the knowledge base they need to live victorious Christian lives. Our key Bible verse for today, of course, our foundational verse, is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And the Bible reads, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the verses that we just went over in the Hide It in Your Heart section of this class time. Continuing instant in prayer, grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to always do that. Have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us as Christians who are saved, for those who are saved, and forgive us of our sins. Through Jesus Christ and his precious blood, wash and cleanse us and make us whiter than snow on the inside. Crush and crucify our flesh afresh and anew, and fill us with the power, the freedom, the unction, the liberty, and the fruit of your Holy Spirit. Demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, once again. For it's not about us, it's all about you. But you deal with us, and you speak to us, and you work on us by the power of your Holy Spirit and your Holy Word. Lord, we know very well that the devil is fighting against the preaching of the gospel on a daily basis. The devil is afraid that I'm going to preach all 365 days this year without a break. And unfortunately, some of the devil's cohorts are afraid of it as well, and they're fighting it. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as this is a real battle, and I see it every day, I pray that you would rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts, Lord, from this place and from the preaching of the gospel here, this message, even today. And surround us all with your protection, a band of your holy angels, a wall of your holy fire. Place, Lord, upon us the whole armor of God. Give us, again, sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. We thank you, Lord, for the technology that, Lord, you have created through man. We thank you for those men, including Jeff Bezos, who allows me to stand here flat-footed today and to preach the gospel to the entire world, to every nook and cranny, from Russia to China, from China to the Philippines, from the Philippines to Kenya, to Mexico City, and America, live and on demand. And so, Lord, have your holy gospel to go far and wide and to go powerfully. Open blinded eyes, unstop deaf ears, and save those who are lost. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our lesson today is titled, you may be seated. Our lesson today is titled, How to Overcome Temptation. Part 105, and we are still dealing with the subject of anger and wrath. We have dealt with other sins in the past that are common to man, temptations and sins that are common to man. Some people call these sins the cardinal sins, or the worst sins, but these are common to all people. In this section of our Onward Christian Soldiers discipleship class, we are looking at specific temptations that are, as the Bible says, common to man, that we all face. For example, all men, all normal men, face the temptation of lust of beautiful women. And that's just common knowledge, and that's a common temptation. And so we are looking at what the Bible says about these temptations and these sins that are so alluring, so we can be aware of its dangers, and so that we can hide Holy Scripture in our hearts to use when we are tempted. The sin that we are looking at today is the dual sin, the twin sin of anger and wrath. They go together. Anger comes first, and sadly after that comes wrath. Two different sins, but closely joined. This is the fifth sin in a list of 12 temptations and sins that comes from two sources, one ancient and one modern. The first source is a list that was developed by monks in the early church called the Seven Deadly Sins. And I was talking with a family member yesterday, and she agreed, and I have told family members and congregations down through the years that there are some sins that are so powerful and so destructive, if you yield to them, they will impact your life for the rest of your life. Cardinal sins. Deadly sins. The second source is a Bonner survey from 2011, which tracked the top temptations Americans admitted to struggling with. And so today, ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11. Remember, the text of this lesson is made available online after each class, so you can go to our website at gospellighthouseofprayer.com or glhopi.com and click the Onward Christian Soldiers banner on the home page and begin to learn these verses by heart throughout the week. And Daniel White IV, are you still putting all of these verses up? My son, Daniel White IV, tells me he is putting all of them up. If they're not up, please email me and let me know. Proverbs 19:11 The Bible reads, "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression." William Arnott said, "Anger cannot be cast wholly out of man in the present state. On some occasions, we do well to be angry. For example, if you have a son that you have raised up according to the Word of God, and he is now a grown man, and he still acts like an eight-year-old child, you need to be angry about that, but just don't sin. And you need to deal with that as much as you can. But the only legitimate anger is a holy emotion directed against an unholy thing, sin. Sin and not our neighbor must be its object. It cannot be a flesh and blood situation. It must be the sin, the evil behind it, the devil working behind the scenes, working through your rebellious son, working through your rebellious wife, working through a foolish acting neighbor. You have to look past them and look at the devil and the evil and the sin behind them, pushing them, motivating them to do that evil. Okay, Spreaker is not on. Write that down. This proverb speaks again of the wisdom of tempering the common emotion of anger. We can do this through a measure of discretion. The Hebrew word translated as discretion means prudence, good sense, oftentimes common sense. Some people, sad to say today, back in the 60s, common sense was very popular. Many people today don't even have common sense. Some don't have enough sense to get out of the rain. All kinds of things are going on, and people stay right there and go right into the problem instead of avoiding it. There is something called common sense. The sense that everybody ought to have. Insight and understanding. A prudent person has the good sense and insight to understand that a display of anger and wrath, unless it is holy anger without sin, against sin, against foolishness, against rebellion, and stubbornness and evil, in most cases, does not solve problems. And getting angry is fine. It's a holy anger against that. But becoming wrathful about it is not wise. You have to put it down. If you got somebody in your family, somebody on your job, you're the supervisor, and they're harming others and causing a problem, causing division. You got family members who are acting like devils and who are rebellious and stubborn and disobedient. It's okay to get angry about that, but you don't have to sin. Just deal with it, and it has to be dealt with. Amen, somebody. It has to be dealt with. And yes, will it be ugly? Yes. Do you really want to do it? No. Do you even really want to be bothered with it? No. But you better get bothered with it, because it's going to get out of hand real quick. Amen, somebody. and you are harming others, dear person in authority, when you're harming the ones who are trying to do right, you're messing up their lives, you're causing things to be bad for them, because you won't deal with the person who is doing the evil over here. And there's always a devil in the crowd. There's always a Judas in the crowd. There's always a loud mouth in the crowd. There's always a troublemaker. You don't have to get angry. You ought to have a holy anger towards it. But you don't have to become wrathful about it, but you better deal with it. If you know they are intentionally doing evil, intentionally being rebellious and stubborn, stand back. Stand back in the back. And acting like hellions and acting like the devil, trying to hinder God's work. You better have a holy anger about it, and you better let them know about it and warn them. And if they don't take heed to the warning, you need to chastise them or rebuke them or punish them in some way to help them to understand they will not get away with doing that evil. So anger and wrath are two different things. Anger and sin are two different things. And the reason why so many people are getting killed in their family life, so many people are getting killed in their families. Husbands coming home and killing the wife, killing the children, killing the dog, and then killing himself. It's because they let stuff build up. Sinners living together is not a perfect, wonderful, always pleasant situation. And if you foolishly try this little thing of, I'm just not going to say anything, I'm just going to let it go, I'm not going to say it, that's going to blow up after a while. You better deal, if people in your family are doing evil and wrong, if you lovingly tell your wife to stop running up the credit cards, she continues to do so behind your back, and then the foreclosure people come to the front door asking why you're still here, and she's already done flew the coop, then not only will you be angry at that point, you're going to be ready to hurt somebody. And God does not want you to get to that point. It's unnecessary. Nipping in the bud. As Charles McKinney used to say, nip it in the bud. And you might need to nip them cards in the bud and cut them. And cut it out. You say, she's going to be mad at me, so what? It's better than losing your house or losing your mind. Anger, sin, and wrath only gives rise to more anger, sin, and resentment, and bitterness, and dispiritedness on the part of others involved. If they're born again Christians, if they're saved, when you rebuke them, they may not like it initially. But if they're born again and saved people, Christian people in your household, eventually they will like it a whole lot. And they will like the peace and the order in the home, and how that the people who are doing right are protected, and only the people who are being rebuked and chastised are being dealt with. Don't stop rebuking them and chastising them because they're pouting and they're sad or they're mad. Stand back in the back. No, you keep on rebuking them. You keep on chastising them and getting on your case. You just don't have to be angry about it. You don't have to be wrathful about it. But let them know that their evil is not going to be tolerated. And you have to do that on the job. You have to do that in a classroom. You have to do that with your children. Husbands have to do this with their wives if they're going to have peace in the home. My dad was a loving man. He was a good man. He was a saved man. He was a godly man. But he was one of those men who taught, or who learned rather, from somewhere, to just not say anything and let things fester and let things grow into big old monstrosities and big old problems that would hinder the people who are trying to do the right thing. He used to tell me, "Danny boy, I was his oldest son. I'm just not saying anything, you know, to keep the peace, because if I say something, your mother's going to go crazy and this, that, and the other." Just the other day, a 14-year-old boy threw a grown woman down to the floor in school and beat her to a pulp and kicked her while she was on the ground because she told the truth to the principal that he had drugs. Excuse me, everybody. But if a 14-year-old boy or anybody, any child of mine or any other child who belongs to somebody else, trust me when I tell you, they would have gotten an ass whipping that day if he had even just raised his hand to me. He said, "That'll be your last day teaching, that's fine." But he would have gotten his ass whooped, which his father and mother should have done. Just the other day, two teenage girls, 12 and 14, killed their mother, stabbed her, and shot her. And this kind of demonic activity is going on all across the country and all across the world because people are lying to people, saying you can't get angry about the evil that's all around you. Yes, God wants you to get angry, but he doesn't want you to sin. And you can deal with it. Are there some sins, if you got things under control, are there some things that you can overlook? Yes. All wise people do that all of the time. I was supposed to chastise somebody yesterday. I chose not to do it, giving him a chance to redeem himself. But I will do it today or tomorrow. And that's one of the things, ladies and gentlemen, about this. To avoid wrath, oftentimes you can be angry about something, even disobedience, rebelliousness, and stubbornness, but you don't have to deal with it at that moment, and it's best oftentimes not to deal with it. And I would venture to say that an overlooking of a sin can be not only overlooking it completely, but also overlooking it for a time and then dealing with it later, particularly if it keeps cropping up. And so, beloved, a prudent person defers his anger. The Hebrew word translated as deferreth means to tarry, see, or to hold back, to stay. Staying one's anger means to set it aside for a while, to hold it back for another time, for the greater good to come out of it, and also so that you will not have to chastise people or rebuke people or get on their case in anger. Now, there are times when some anger needs to be displayed, but not sin, where you got to stop somebody from doing evil immediately, otherwise something that is happening at that time is going to be hindered. And you can't wait. When the devil has gotten a hold of somebody's heart and mind, and they're causing a problem with the progress of something that belongs to God, belongs to good, you better deal with that right then. For example, the other day, a man entered a place and was trying to rob the place. And the person who owned the place took action immediately. He didn't want to have to harm this person, but he had to take matters into his own hands. Otherwise, he would have died and customers would have died. He wasn't angry before the man walked in. But the man was threatening him, threatening his property, and putting the lives of the customers in danger, and he had to make a decision. Sometimes you have to act immediately to stop evil. And by the way, my dear friends, evil is in this world. Evil is in your house. Evil is in your school. Evil is on the job. There's evil in this world. There's a devil loose. And we need more godly, saved Christian people who are not angry, but who will get angry to stop a terrible situation. I was so glad to hear that the new governor of Florida, very respectfully, very quietly, fired the South Florida sheriff who allowed all those children to get killed with coward sheriffs who were running away, allowing poor children, our children, to get killed. It doesn't make any difference whether the man was on the spot or not. But he was over everybody, and he needs to be fired. He should have been fired a long time ago. There's a time to get angry. And so that evil will not spread, we got to fire people and get rid of some people who don't understand that we need better reaction to stuff like that. We need folks who are not going to run away, but run to the problem and stop the evil from happening in the first place. So getting angry is okay, just don't sin. I would not give you 2 cents for a man who won't get angry at the sin in his own house and then allows that sin to flow out of his house into the neighborhood, and his boys and his girls are out there stealing and robbing other people, making other people's lives miserable. Anger's like an angry bird trapped inside, and we're not talking about the game. Angry birds trapped inside of us, clawing to get out and to sin. And expressing our anger, letting out this strong emotion, feels good to us in the moment. That is for those who want to sin with their anger. Those who don't want to sin with their anger, is not anything that's clawing out and makes people feel good. Only those who want to sin with it. And you're feeling good about it is your sin. Because you're so foolish in your thinking that you think that is somehow good. Some people call it putting my 2 cents in. That's all you have is 2 cents. And some call it, let me give you a piece of my mind. That's all you got is a piece of mind. So there's no good in being angry to sin. Sometimes there's good in being angry if you're not going to sin. And you're doing what God is leading you to do to stop evil in your family, in your church, in your job, on your job, in your school. Sometimes it is good to be angry, to stop evil, and you ought to feel good about doing that. Ladies and gentlemen, people who get angry to sin, it does more harm than good if it is not holy anger against sin, rebellion, and evil. Those of you who just get angry just to get back at somebody, God's not pleased with that. So that'll make you feel good and you're huffing and puffing around the house like a mad dog, mean as hell. And some of you can recognize people like that in your family. They always got something to say, They can never shut up. They're always running off at the mouth because they have an angry, bitter, resentful heart, and they enjoy the sin only to sulk in the sin later because they look so foolish after second thought. As this verse indicates, ladies and gentlemen, it is often wise to pass over a transgression. In fact, it is a person's glory to do so. The Hebrew word translated as glory means beauty, splendor, or honor. We all, those of us who are adults and we're parents and we have children, we got one child that is doing evil on purpose, and we have to deal with him. They plan their evil. They plot their evil. And you have to deal with that joker all the time. You can't overlook his. Because on the other hand, we have two or three other children who, if they mess up or sin or make a mistake, it is so rare you overlook it because you know they didn't really mean it, or they just were not paying attention, or whatever the case might be. You just overlook it. But you have some persistent, wicked, evil children that you better deal with them every time. You better let them know every time that they are in danger of being punished, or that they will be punished. You have other children who sin occasionally, or they were not paying attention and something bad happened. You just have a heart to overlook that. Be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. God in his mercy has very often passed over our transgressions. This passing over, this display of grace, does not detract from his honor or glory. Rather, it adds to it. We deserve God's wrath, and please understand that. We deserve God's anger. The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. We deserve his judgment. In fact, we deserve hell. But he sets the example for all of us by overlooking things that he very well could punish. And I don't mean to tell you that God overlooks sin, because God does not overlook sin. He deals with it in our lives through chastisement, through rebuke. And what I mean is, when I say overlooking, he just does not bring the hammer down on us like he could. And we all know that to be true. If he did, we wouldn't be here. God is long-suffering. God practices loving kindness, mercy, and grace. He does not overlook sin. He wants us, and he will remind us, to confess our sins and to repent of our sins. He'll bring it up. But he'll give us grace to repent. He'll give us space to repent. He'll give us time to get ourselves together. How many of you parents have you given a certain child some space and some time to repent and correct himself or herself? Well, God does that a billion times over. So, ladies and gentlemen, if this is God's way of interacting with his creation, with you and me, oftentimes, because God does chastise and rebuke his children for their transgressions, rebellion, and evil, we ought to follow suit and defer our anger to a more appropriate time and pass over some transgressions and wisely rebuke others. So, my beloved, if you struggle with anger or wrath, take this passage to heart and begin to use it the next time you face that temptation. Be angry, but sin not. Now, dear friend of mine, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shall be saved. If you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead, and you want to trust him for your salvation today, please pray with me this simple prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and that I have done evil in your sight in so many ways. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of my heart, I believe that he died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my old life, my old evil and sinful life, and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.